Welcome to the workshop, the sponsorship workshop called Breaking Up is Hard to Do, and it's about sponsor-sponsee separations. Could everyone press star 6 and join me in the serenity prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will be done. Amen.
Well, in the spirit of Rule 62, which is not taking ourselves too seriously, if you know the words, would you join me in a chorus of, they say that breaking up is hard to do, and now I know that it's true.
Please don't say that this is the end.
Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up, and we'll stop there. All right, and we'll start there. And if everybody would mute themselves, that would be great. Our workshop today has three parts. In each segment, we will have four speakers who will have 5 minutes each to address that segment. And then, after the four panelists have spoken, we'll open the floor for 10 minutes of sharing our experience, strength, and hope around the topic we are addressing. And for those, you do not need to have abstinence to ask a question or to make a comment, and those will be 2 minutes. The wonderful volunteers for today's panel are Sheila H., Bruce H., Linda M., and Loretta R. Since we are recording, we will not be giving out our phone numbers, but if you would like to outreach our speakers today, email...
I'm Shelly H., not Sheila.
Shelly H. Typo here. Okay. Shelly H. Thanks, Shelly. But if you'd like to outreach any of our speakers today, you can email me. It's Elaine. I haven't introduced myself. Elaine from Portland. But you can email me at phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. And they've all agreed that I can give out their phone numbers. So we will turn then. I'll just tell you what the three segments are. The first segment is, what are some of the ways you give a new sponsee the lay of the land when you start to work with them? And the second segment will be, what is your experience, strength, and hope around best practices for breaking up? And then the third segment is, what is your experience, strength, and hope regarding post-breakup feelings? And again, in between, we'll have 10 minutes, and whatever time is remaining at the end, for that period of time, we will open that up for questions and comments for everyone. And so now we will turn to the first segment. What are some of the ways you give a new sponsee the lay of the land when you start to work with them? And our first 5-minute share will be from Shelly H. Take it away, Shelly.
Elaine, do you want us to qualify before we do this or just go forward?
Just go for it.
Okay. This is Shelly H., bulimic compulsive eater in recovery. And the way that I start out with sponsees is, a lot of times I will take a photograph of the 7 tools and I will forward it to them after I tell them to get a big book, get a sponsor, a 12 and 12, and a food plan. And I also tell them that when in doubt, leave it out, and I make sure they understand the food plan. I tell them that we're going to set up a time, and they're going to call me at that time, they're going to give their committed food, and they're writing. And what I tell them is, if you don't call me, for 3 consecutive days, I'm no longer your sponsor. And I also say that if you find someone else in the meetings that you think can sponsor you better, then I suggest you take a chance. And it's foremost to remember that I am building a relationship with this person and that I have their best interests at heart. I do make sure they understand the food, the forever abstinence. I answer all food-related questions, and I stress the need to use the 7 tools. I want you to know that all this information is in your sponsor guideline, and I tell them, like, if we're progressing and they're at 7 days, I suggest they become a sponsor, and some people will be very hesitant, and some people will be very hesitant about making outreach calls, and I say to them that just remember the people that you're calling are doing the same thing, because that's what's required of us in this program. This is a disciplined and structured approach, and that's what I found worked for me. You're calling me for my experience, strength, and hope. And I think I will leave it like that. So thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Bruce, would you like to address this topic?
Yes. Thank you, Elaine. I think that it's very important to have a sponsee get familiar with the Forever Abstinent book. And before starting my sponsorship with a sponsor, I will allow myself to have time to have them get that booklet, and we get on the phone together, and we go through it from cover to cover. So when we're done, they are fully familiar with all that's in the Forever Abstinence book. I will wait for them to get a copy of the sponsor's guide, along with the big book and other books that we use in CHOW. And once that's done, we'll set a time to connect with each other on the phone. And I like to emphasize to them that I am standing by waiting for that phone call each and every day, and if they're not there at a particular time and they're late, I like them to at least acknowledge why it wasn't possible for them to get at the prescribed time that we have set and agreed on. And with that, I usually have a pretty good time with the sponsee, and I try to make sure that they understand what the expectations of them are. And if we agree on that I expect them to hold up to it, which I do with my sponsors. I call them on time. I have my reading and writing done, and I commit my food. And with those things, it's the basis, the bare minimum that we need to do on a daily basis as we work the CHOW program as it's written. And I do think that the 7 tools, the 12 steps, and the 12 traditions are what keeps us on the road of recovery when they're adhered to. And that's just about it for what I expect of a sponsee, and try my best to make it clear that these are not arbitrary chores. These are gifts to our recovery if we learn to work them and accept them as a part of our daily life. And that's all I have on that one. Back to you, Elaine.
Thank you, Bruce. And now, Linda M., would you like to share how you handle this?
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to time myself because I can go on. So Linda M., compulsive eater, and I have a unique situation, but that's not true. The majority of people that I have sponsored, I think actually everybody except maybe one or two people, have stopped working with the prior sponsor or they're returning after a bit of time. So I have been strictly phone bridge, very few face-to-face meetings, and they've all been very small, usually like 2 to 3 people. So for me, I find that it's a little, it takes some maneuvering for people to have the books. I think it's really important that we work out of the same edition of Forever Abstinent, you know, especially for folks who, you know, have it from 5, 6 years ago. You know, there's been some updates, and that sometimes having the two different editions, you know, trips us up because they'll be talking about one thing on one page, and I'm looking at that page going, I don't see what you're talking about. I think it's really important that I not, you know, take photocopies or scan anything and send to my sponsees, because World Service asks us not to. These are copyrighted books. And I need to set that example, you know, and it's a way to talk about the traditions as well. So when we first talk, I asked them how they found out about CHOW, and if they've done any other 12-step food programs. And then we talk about what happened. As I said, most people are familiar with 12-step food programs and, you know, what worked, what didn't, what came about that they stopped. Or what if they, you know, relapsed and decided not to work with that or were unable to work with that prior sponsor, you know, what happened. And I think, you know, so especially people, I came from a different program and it didn't work for me. And so when people talk about other programs that they've tried, it's important to me not to trash talk other programs because they work for some people. You know, CHOW is not necessarily for everybody. My job as a sponsor is to pass on experience, strength, and hope. And this program works for me. I love it, and hope that I can, you know, pass that on. We talk about their goals regarding the program. If they want weight loss, we need to talk about this is not a diet plan. This is not a weight loss program. This is a spiritual program, and that this program is about the desire to stop eating compulsively, and that and sometimes people can talk through that, you know. And of course, you know, when I was desperate, I'll do whatever you say, whatever you say, whatever you say, and it shows up kind of quickly if there's some maneuvering to try and like, well, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, and can I substitute this and that. And I really appreciate, I mean, one of the reasons I love this program is because we all work from the same book. You know, there's no whomever your sponsor is where you get your food plan. You know, so there's medical
1 minute
wiggle room. Oh, thank you, and that you know can be discussed when it's necessary. And I ask the person, you know, tell me about your relationship with your higher power. What is that? What's been your history? And certainly that goes into the first 30 questions, the first 30 days. But I do kind of want—I do not want to know what's up with that. And really, the bottom line: two questions. Are you truly ready to stop eating compulsively? And are you willing to go to any lengths? Yeah. And some people are kind of are honest and as best they can. I mean, certainly at that moment, everybody says, "Yes, I want to stop eating compulsively. Yes, I'm willing to do anything." You know, but then later on, it's something that we can go back to, and I can say, you know, you said you were willing to go to any length. And so I'll go ahead and stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And now for Loretta. Loretta, take it away.
Sorry, I was just getting unmuted. Okay. I really like being on a workshop that, you know, with other people because they get to fill in all the areas that I forgot to write about. So it's wonderful. The first thing I do if somebody asks me to sponsor them, I set up a mutually agreeable time where we can check in before we start working together. I used to just agree to sponsor whoever asked me if I had a spot. I don't do that anymore because that's led to lots of problems. I let people know during our interview that I can't talk more than 30 minutes at a time. That's me. That's something for physically I can't do that. I must get off at that time. If it takes less time, fine. I just can't give them more. I need for them to call me on time. That means not 10:03, if it's a 10 o'clock call, not 10:03, not 10:05, not 10:15, not 9:50. Please call me on time. And sometimes you have to sync my clock with another person's because some people's clocks run 10 and 15 minutes fast or slow. So that I don't run into problems. I say, well, let's sync our clock. And I ask them to make the call a priority because I'm doing that. I will be waiting for them at our agreed upon time. So I ask them to please have the courtesy to call me on time. And I'm about to say something that's very controversial. I ask people to weigh and measure their food at all times. That includes restaurants. The FA booklet is contradictory on this point, and I let people know that. The 7 tools state that we weigh and measure 3 meals a day. Just a second here. And there's a clause earlier in the book that says we don't have to weigh and measure in restaurants. I know I've had a lot of problems in previous food programs where I only eyeballed in restaurants. I've heard numerous people over the years say the same thing in CHOW. I share that I eat before, after. I eat before a meal, after a meal, or bring my food with me, or I weigh and measure at the event, restaurant, or whatever. Those are my 4 choices. They don't have to do this, and if they can't do it, I can't be their sponsor. I have tried to sponsor people who don't weigh and measure their food all the time. It doesn't work for me because that's what I do. I try as kindly as possible to tell them that there are many sponsors out there, and I'm sure someone will fit them better than I if they don't want to work with me. I let them know that either one of us can quit this arrangement if we feel it is no longer useful or helpful. I tell them that I am not here to give advice or tell them what to do with their marriage, their job, their kids, etc. I'm certainly not qualified to do that. We need to keep our sharing to program as much as possible. If something's really bothering someone, I am there to listen, however. I sometimes will open up the sponsor guidelines just as a reference if they have questions I can't answer. If the prospective sponsee balks at what I'm saying, I usually say I didn't write this program of recovery. I'm just here to pass it on. You do not have to have me as a sponsor. Again, there are others out there who may be more helpful to you. Then I leave the ball in their court. And that's what I do.
Thank you, Loretta. I think what I'll do now is I'm going to open the floor for questions or comments or other things that you may do. And I think since people didn't use their whole 5 minutes, I think for this round, you can have a 3-minute share, and or if you just want to ask a question, that's fine. And you can refer that to either Shelley, Bruce, Linda, Loretta, or everybody. And so if you would like to add your two cents or make a comment, press star 6 to unmute. Does anybody have anything that they do that they would like to throw in the hopper? Well, I will add something that when I first started sponsoring.
Go ahead.
No, please. Who is that? No. Please go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is Kay H. in Pennsylvania.
Go for it, Kay.
One of the things that I do with a new sponsee or a potential even sponsee is I have them read the See How concept. And when they do that, of course, they have to have the book for that, or I'll read it to them. And they can, I want them to read it and really see what comes up for them. Because there's a lot of wording in there, you know, things like that, that I know for me, when I first came in, I was like, I'm not so sure about this, you know, and whatever. And it brought up negative feelings for me. And since it's something we read at every meeting, I thought, you know, it might be a good idea to go over some of those terms and all of that. So that's just another thing I do for a newcomer. Thank you for everybody for your service. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kay. Is there somebody else who would like to share their experience, strength, and hope, or ask a question to any of the panelists or just in general?
This is Carolyn.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Carolyn. Hello. Go ahead.
And I actually just wanted to make a kind of an announcement about something that's available. I know as everybody was talking, and thank you everybody for sharing, but that, you know, what we do when we first start working with a sponsee, I just wanted to make aware to people, because it may be helpful, that we do now have the Forever Abstinent and Sponsor Guidelines available in e-literature. And you can go to the seehow.org website, and under the literature store, can go under e-literature. They do still need a sponsor to be able to get those, but it could make it available quicker and to be on the same page with the most recent version of the Forever Abstinent and Sponsor Guidelines. So just wanted to pass that on. Thank you.
Carolyn, were you talking about we actually have a book sponsoring and see in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, how, or one of our, like, our question books?
Our Forever Abstinent and Sponsor Guidelines are available in e-reader format. So
I see. Okay.
So they can get those documents, pamphlets, right away. So
great.
That if you're working with somebody, particularly on the phone bridge, that they can get those right away if they have the capability of a smartphone. They can do it on their phone, their tablet, or computer, and have it available so that they could be looking at that right away. So it is an e-reader format.
Great. Thank you for that, Carolyn.
Uh-huh.
Well, then I will just tack on, we do have a book and questions that go with the book. The book is called Sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, How? And the list of questions is called Broaden Your Experience of Sponsoring. And these are questions. And it's See How Inventory Item Number 856. So that is also available. Other comments or questions that people might like to...
Hi, Elaine. Hi, this is Linda M. I just want to address the e-reader.
Yes.
And I think that's fantastic that we've got Forever Abstinent online. But I did want to also, I have sponsees, you know, they need to have the big book and the 12 and 12 not online. I mean, they can have one if they want, you know, read on their phone at work or something like that if there's homework. But they need to have the actual book. And the questions we need to talk about, you know, it's not an online thing, you know, no typing it out and emailing it. However, I find that it's helpful for me. You know, my first sponsor let me, you know, I have a sheet of paper. I wrote out all my food plan for the day, and I would take a picture of it and text it to her. And what was helpful for me to do that, since, of course, we didn't live near each other, that I always had my food plan with me if I had my phone. So if something came up, you know, I forgot my lunch in the car and I'm at work and I'm not going to have time to go down and get it, you know, I can go to the cafeteria, look at what's on my phone, my food plan for the day, and still follow it that way. So I don't know if other folks do that, but the food plan is something that I will let my sponsee do electronically. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda.
Elaine,
other questions? Yes.
Can I
please
add
go,
something?
Sally. Of course.
You know, okay, I was at the beginning, but I want to stress that when I start working with a sponsee, I let them know that this program is life and death for me, and it's no matter what, and I ask them if this is no matter what, and then I tell them that I'm not the one who is going to help you keep your abstinence, and I always remind them it's your willingness that will keep you abstinent. Those are key things that I constantly remind them of when I talk to them. It's your willingness. So thank you for letting me add that on, and I'll turn the meeting back over to you.
Thank you, Shelley. Go ahead.
It's Marcia in Southern California, a compulsive
eater. Hi, Marcia. Go ahead.
I just would like to talk about what was done with me. It was suggested that I read the food plan Forever Abstinent 3 times. And then if I had any questions, I was to ask. This is my first sponsor that I'm talking about. And I find that even today, I need to go back if I'm not sure, or it's been suggested that I go back and, you know, what does the food plan say? So that's one thing. The other thing is I was told that I cannot write on the computer. I had to actually physically have the words come out of my arm, you know, my hand, and I always say, dear God, please let me, you know, write, give me the words to write, and it comes out that way. I might not even know what's going to come out, that's there, but something magically happens when I do that. Also, and I'm in a different situation where my first sponsor was at a first face-to-face meeting. So we were able to sit down and we went through the sponsor guidelines book together and read it, you know, from cover to cover, not just the food plan, where it talks about the rules of, you know, if you miss three consecutive days of not calling, you know, I'm no longer your sponsor, and going to 3 meetings, or, you know, the tools, all that stuff. So so we did that. And also, the only time that I could not call her or was if either one of us was traveling. And if I could get to a computer then, you know, I was allowed to do that. That's what comes to mind. Oh, I'm one of those people, you know, sponsoring is can be intimidating, and I find that with outreach calls, you know, I'm able to, it's better for me. You know, it's strengthened my self-esteem, I guess is the word. So, and I enjoy talking to people. You know, I've made friends from all over the world and feel very close to them, and I have never met them. So I'm looking forward to meeting them at the convention. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. And thank you for
thank
your
you.
Service.
Thank you, Marcia. Is there anybody else who would like to add their 2 cents to what has been put forth already?
Yes, this is Nadira in North Carolina. I'm a newcomer, and I have a question.
What was your question? And tell me your name again.
Madeira.
Oh, Madeira.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Madeira.
Okay, I really appreciate hearing the speakers share about getting acclimated to the program, reading the book, and different things that they take time to do with that new person. My question is this. If a new person gets a sponsor who does not take that kind of time to acclimate, to read the Forever Abstinence book, get a, not procrastinating doing the eating right thing, but getting a clear understanding, is it, would that be to say something to the sponsor to say, look, I need time to, I would appreciate it if you, if we would go over this material, let me get a clear understanding. Is that considered telling the sponsor how to sponsor you?
Pamela, would you like to respond to Nubira? Please do. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Shelley H., bulimic compulsive eater in recovery. It is a, as I said in my share, this is a relationship. And I find for me that if I have, if I need something from my sponsor, I will ask. It's very important. I have found with sponsees and to allow people to be open and honest with me about something I'm not doing or something that they need. That's all part of building a relationship with the sponsor. And I agree, if you have any questions or you need help on a situation, ask. I think you're building a relationship. So yes, it's okay to ask.
Is there anyone else on the panel who would like to address this?
This is
yes.
Bruce. I'm
go ahead, Bruce.
A grateful compulsive overeater. And I think when dealing with a sponsee that it is very important to have two-way communication. I'm not going to suggest or say something without getting feedback from that sponsee. And I think that my most important role is to understand and hear where the sponsee is coming from. And I think that communication is the largest part of my job as a sponsee, a sponsor. And I will ask questions about how well the sponsee understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I often emphasize that your writing, your reading is not a chore. It is, in fact, a treasure in terms of being on the path of recovery. And that's all I had to add to that.
Thank you, Bruce. There was somebody else who wanted to respond.
Yeah, this is Linda M. I feel that as a sponsor, I absolutely need to listen to my sponsee, especially if they're new to the program and have questions about why are we doing certain things. I did have one sponsee who came from another program, and her expectation of me was she wanted me to tell her what to do, you know, kind of what to eat and, you know, be very firm. And that was not my style. And so she did end up finding somebody else. And, but the... You know, I mean, that's what we're doing with this workshop, so we can help folks, you know, get a feel of different styles of sponsoring. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Now, before we move on to segment two, I want to repeat that at the end we can come back to any of our segments to ask more questions. There is one thing that I would like to add. When I first started sponsoring, I called some people that I had heard online just to ask them how they got, what did they do to get started? And one of the things I, and one of the people had a complete interview sheet. And if you're interested with the details of those, again, all of our numbers, you can get them from me at phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com after the session. But she said this, and I think it's really worthwhile. She said, I want to make them completely responsible for this path that we're going to walk down. I will walk alongside, but I'm not going to take any responsibility for their life or abstinence. I will teach them from the start that this is about them and a relationship with their higher power. There won't be any dependence placed upon me. And then the question, what are you looking for in a sponsor? And I think that in addition to what we've heard already, and then at the caveat was you have the freedom to leave whenever you want. So there's more to it than that, but again, if you're interested in it, you can contact me at phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. Okay, now we're going to start the second segment. What is your experience, strength, and hope around the best practices for breaking up? And again, we will start with Shelley. Shelley, take it away.
Hi, everybody. This is Shelley H. Belima, compulsive eater in recovery. There's a couple things that I say, and I work with people both at live meetings and PhoneBridge. And I'll say there's a couple blanket statements that I'll say. I'll say this doesn't feel like it's working, and I'll ask how they feel about it. And I, you know, like if it's messing with my abstinence or I feel, have this awful feeling every time they call, I like dread it. And throughout our relationship, I constantly remind them that this program has to do with your willingness. It has, all I'm here is to teach you about the food, my experience, strength, and help around the food. And I will talk to them about, you know, I am not your therapist. You can go to other programs for outside issues. I'm here to help you with the food. So I'll say, this isn't working for me, and I'll have a conversation with them. And if they ask me not to let them go, I'll say, well, I, you know, this really isn't working for me, and you can give me your food until you get a, until you find a new sponsor. And, you know, I have to be totally convinced in my innermost self that this relationship is not working for me. Or if a sponsee says that to me, I'll say, okay. And I let them, I said, if you need to, that either they get another sponsor or they can give me their food until they find someone new. If I have a sponsee who's constantly slipping, which happens, I will say to them, and I've had a lot of outreach calls on this, that I don't feel like I'm doing you a service. Maybe there's somebody out there who can help you more than I can. Maybe, you know, that maybe that's why you're slipping. Maybe I am not the right sponsor for you. And I have to be, I pray about it, and I really dig deep before I ever say anything. And I constantly remind people, because some people will, I remind them that I'm you are calling me for my experience, strength, and hope around the food. And if they have issues with family, whatever, I will suggest things like, maybe you need to work an Al-Anon program, you know, or maybe you should seek outside help. And let me think, did I leave anything out? But I have to be convinced, you know, this is not working for me. And, you know, I give 100% to my sponsees. I build a relationship with them. And when I feel like I'm doing the bulk of the work, it's time to let them go, because it's up to me as a sponsor to meet my sponsees halfway. If they are willing to do 100% of the work, I'm willing to give them 100%. Because, like I said, if I feel like I'm giving more than they are giving towards the program, then it's just not okay for me. And so that's what I do. This isn't working for me. And I think I will leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Bruce, would you like to add your perspective on this?
Yes, I would, Elaine. Thank you. I'm Bruce, a compulsive eater, grateful to be working the CHOW program. And thinking back on the sponsees that I have let go, it's only been a few that didn't return that I let go. The bulk of the sponsees that I've let go simply stopped calling. And there have been two sponsees that continued to call that I let go. One was a sponsee that could not seem to ever get abstinent. And finally, I had to say that I didn't believe that I was capable of helping them, and I let them go. The other sponsee that I let go was when I made a suggestion to purchase the Daily Reflection CHOW model that I use with my sponsor and my other sponsees. And when I made that suggestion, the sponsee immediately said, I'm not spending $17 or whatever it is for more literature. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I felt that the sponsee and I were not on the same page and possibly would have more and more of a separation as we went on. And I let them go. But by and large, I am the type of sponsee that will hold on to a sponsee, sometimes longer than I need to. But if I feel that a sponsee is honest with me, I will hold on. And the minute that I feel that the honesty is not there, I will let them go. And that's all I have on that one.
Thank you, Bruce. Linda.
Hello, Linda. Yeah, Linda M., compulsive eater. I too find that sponsees tend to, in terms of parting ways, tend to self-select, right? They kind of ghost out, they stop calling, they get kind of random on things, they don't respond to texts, and like I said, those folks kind of self-select and move out of the program. And I think that's also, phone bridge, that we don't actually have to see each other. It's not like, I think, face-to-face meetings. I also let them know that I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope. And, like Shelley said, I'm not a therapist. I'm here to help them with their food as I have experienced it and what I do and, what has worked. And we may not be a match in how that shows up. One thing that has kind of not worked is that I don't have children. And so when I've sponsored folks, especially that have younger children. You know, I can't relate to that situation of having non-abstinent food in the house for the family and then have to make my own separate meals and what kind of a struggle that has with this program. I've also found that medical abstinence, there's some aspects of that I can work with. I struggle with folks that need to have more than the three meals because of whatever dietary needs, diabetes or hypoglycemia or anything, because I don't know to what degree I'm being played. You know, if somebody, you know, well, no, before I go to bed, I have to have this. And since I'm not familiar with that, you know, like I said, I don't know if somebody's just like, you know, tossing me around and telling me a story or, you know, even though I do, if somebody's on medical abstinence, I do require them, as it says, to have a doctor, a nutritionist, whoever is their healthcare provider, write it out. And they email it or fax it to me so that, you know, we're on the same page and they're not just telling me stuff. And I have had sponsees that actually just one who really took, you know, she took up about half an hour talking about emotional and family and this and that. And, you know, I was a young sponsor. So I finally had to say, well, you know, I'm just here for the experience, strength, and hope. We talk question, you know, your writing, and this kind of discussion needs to be on outreach calls. That's what that's for. And I was not met with a happy response on that. But it is important, I think, for sponsees to understand that is something that to be talked about, that in the time, the phone call time is the phone call time. And that needs to be, you know, kind of like a sacred. Again, the, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. For people that are chronic slippers, I do similar, you know, I'm not sure that I'm the right sponsor for you. And before we have that talk, I really make sure to check that it's not my ego, that I'm not feeling disrespected because maybe they're doing something different from what I am suggesting or recommending, or that I feel less than, thank you, or that it's not my pride that's being bruised, you know. So I really check in with myself and have that you know, kind of communication with my higher powers to what can I let them go authentically. Do I authentically feel we need to separate, or do I need to learn something here, which I do anyway. And I discovered that I am growing as a sponsor. You know, I'm learning things as I go, things that I am that work for me, that work with my abstinence. Okay, and I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Loretta.
Okay. I experience strength and hope around best practices for breaking up. Once I've decided that I'm not in the right place with a sponsor or sponsee, and really the thing to do is to let go, and the lead up to this usually takes a good deal of soul searching on my part, especially if the relationship has lasted many months or some years, I then ask them if they have the time to talk about our relationship. I try to remember to keep it about what is not working for me, what is difficult, etc. Then I will ask them, how do they feel? Maybe something can be worked out. Perhaps it is best to part ways. I pray first, asking higher power to give me the right words and let me be a channel for his will. That's another thing I do before saying anything about the breakup. I usually turn the relationship over to God as I understand God and ask for the right thought or action. And it's interesting because sometimes I will see in myself that I really have an investment in that relationship going a certain way. And when I do that, turning the relationship over to God. So I have to be completely willing to let God to let that relationship be for me in my life what God would have it be. And then I can breathe easier. I try to approach the person with kindness and love. If it is a sponsor I'm releasing, I make sure to tell them all the good things I gained from the association. If it is a sponsee, I tell them that I will help them find a new sponsor if they would like. If they say no, I tell them that I will help if they change their minds. If it is a sponsor and I would like to keep in touch with outreach calls, then I mention that. If they are not willing, I just say okay and wish them a great life, thank them again, and sign off. Then I try to thank God for whatever the outcome was, asking his help in finding a new one, and try again. I think the key words here are, for me, kind and loving, whether I'm breaking up with a sponsee or sponsor, especially gratitude to them both, because each one helps me to stay abstinent. For that, I can thank them. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Loretta. Now I'd like to open the floor for three-minute shares from our wonderful listening audience here, and share your experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, you can do it from both perspectives. Best practices for breaking up as a sponsee or a sponsor. So if there's somebody who would like to comment or share, please go ahead.
Cheryl, go ahead, because it's Shelley H. I wanted to add one thing, but go ahead.
Thank you so much. A couple things. Letting a sponsee go as a sponsor, I always find that difficult, and I haven't had to do it too many times. Basically, if someone's not comfortable with the program, they tend to leave anyway, and the way they leave is that I never hear from them again, which is kind of bothersome. Why they don't just call up and say, I can't be sponsored anymore, or I don't want to stay in this program. But that's just the way life is. There was a point in my life once where three sponsees left within 2 weeks' time, and I was sure it was me, that I was doing something wrong, and my sponsor told me that they just weren't ready. Regarding one specific case, there was someone that was having problems emotionally, probably did most of her life, wasn't ready to go to someone on the outside, and it was becoming way too heavy for me. I felt that when I hung up that phone, I was in a bad space the rest of the day. So, you know, I told her that I would speak to her. We went to a meeting, was in the library. I remember, and what I did before then was call up someone that was available, a sponsor, announce himself, and I called them and asked if they were ready to take on a sponsee, and they said yes. So when I told her that I need to let her go, because it was really threatening my recovery, threatening my emotional stability. Of course, she started crying, and then I said, I have someone for you. It turned out to be the most wonderful thing. They get along beautifully. And so that's one case, but I was trying to make sure that I have somebody in the wings for them to call, whether they do or not. The other thing is I had sponsee a while back where she was kicking and fighting and kicking tooth and nail. She just, why do we do this? I don't want to do that. And I was pretty new, and I thought that I just have to stick it out with her, and I'm glad that I did. She now has 10 years of back-to-back See How abstinence. So we never know. I never know when they come in whether they're going to stay or not and whether it will appeal to them in another month or two and just not happening right now. So I try to stick with them as long as I can. The other thing is, what do I do when sponsees keep on slipping? Sponsor guidelines tells me that I can let them go after they slip three times. But, you know, someone that's so desperate, and I remember my days when I was slipping and I had a relapse, how I was feeling, and then how it just, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't get it back. I had been absent for years, and I couldn't do it. And so I understand that frustration and that wanting to get it again, wanting to be abstinent again. So I like to hang in there a little longer. You know, I don't do the three times and then you're out rule, but I try to hang in there a little longer than that. And the part about the relationship, I have this thing also that I read to them before this page that I don't know where I got it from. I read to them what I expect from them and what they can expect from me. And sometimes the lines get blurred, and all of a sudden I'm hearing problems within the marriage and things like that. And you know, I have to cut that short.
1 minute.
Thank you so much. I'm not a therapist, nor do I want to be. I'm not licensed, and I cannot advise them. So I need to let them get away from that topic, and that's just not something that's in the relationship between me and them. So I'm just grateful that I can sponsor, that I'm available, and this program to help others as they have helped me. So give back that which I have received every day. Thank you so much, and thank you, panel. Wonderful topic.
Thank you, Cheryl. So we're discussing, and it's open to the general comments, we're discussing best practices for breaking up, and you can do that either in your experience as a sponsee or as a sponsor. Are there other people who would like to share?
Hi, Susan from New York.
Okay, please go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Thanks, Elaine and the panel. It's a great topic today, sponsorship. From the Big Book, the AA Big Book, this had come up at a meeting I was on today, so it was fresh in my mind, page 96, Working with Others. From the top of the page, it said, we find it a waste of time to keep chasing a man who cannot or will not work with you. If you leave such a person alone, he may soon become convinced that he cannot recover by himself. To spend too much time on any one situation is to deny some other alcoholic an opportunity to live and be happy. One of our fellowship failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. He often says if he had continued to work on them, he might have deprived many others who have since recovered of their chance. So for myself, I'm a compulsive eater. As a sponsor and as a sponsee, there's a lot for me to think about, and luckily I believe that I'm guided by my higher power. Recently I've heard many people tell me, or some people tell me in outreach, you know, how situations weren't good for them with a sponsor or even a sponsee. For the sake of the fellowship, for see how to be healthy, I think we all need to look at what goes into a healthy sponsor-sponsee relationship, and what might be considered unhealthy, unbalanced, even possibly abusive. And I know that's come up lately in some of the sponsorship forums. I myself have had to apologize to sponsees at times when my own emotions or I might not be having a great day. I'm a recovering person too. But I do think that I've had many sponsors, I've had many sponsees. I think higher power is in the mix all the time, and I get signals, I do get signals when it's time to part ways. I've also stayed too long, stayed too long at the fair, and as I've heard other people share today, but it's a learning experience, but it's all for the best of strengthening the See How Fellowship. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Susan. My name is Shelley. I'd like to share.
Hello?
Oh, please go ahead, Shelley.
Hi. Okay, thank you. Thanks for having the workshop. I always tell my sponsees I love them, but I sponsor them for me, not for them, because on page 181 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, Dr. Bob says why he sponsors. And one, it's a pleasure. Two, it's insurance against a slip. And three, I got to look it up. Hold on, got it right here. Giving back to the man as another one gave to him. And the fourth one is, let's see, 81. It's a pleasure. It's a sense of duty, because in doing so, I am paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me, and because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. Just because someone's a sponsor doesn't mean they're my mother or father or my manager or my ringmaster or my punisher or anything else. The problem is I'm a sick person, and they're sick too. And
my Bluetooth blinked there. Shelley, did you have a chance to finish what you were saying?
I'm sorry?
My Bluetooth went out at the end of your share. Did you finish what you wanted to say?
Oh, yes, I will.
Great.
I said I was citing on page 181 of the big book about Alcoholics Anonymous, and that that there's four reasons Dr. Bob said he helped other people. One was a sense of duty, two it's a pleasure, three because in doing so I'm paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me, and three because every time I do it I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I sponsor people for me, not for them. You know, mm-hmm. if I don't work till number 7, I can't stay abstinent, and that means sponsorship and being sponsored. So, if I have a sponsor, I've been through lots of sponsees. Tomorrow, if I don't compulsively eat today, tomorrow God and the group will have given me 20 years of being abstinent, one day at a time. And if you told me in 1999, in March 25th, that I would be abstinent this long, I would have told you you were crazy. I wouldn't have believed it at all. But you know what? God did for me what I couldn't do for myself, and he gave me a group that helped me to do it. And a family today, a family of my who love me, you know, and that's you guys. And, you know, I'm just so grateful. And, you know, the sponsor-sponsee relationship may always be some kind of push-me-pull-you kind of thing, because as a compulsive eater for me, I don't want to give up my drug of choice. And so I'm going to argue for my limitations at times. And if I get a sponsee that is... having that kind of problem, thank you. I just, what I do is I tell them, you know, I think it'd be better to find another sponsor because I'm not the sponsor that can help you, you know. And I want you to have a good abstinence, you know, and if I'm not being able to do that, that's something. Anyway, thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Is there somebody else who would like to share their experience, strength, and hope from either as a sponsee or a sponsor, the best practices for breaking up?
This is Mary Beth. I'd like to share.
Please, go ahead, Mary Beth.
So from the perspective of a sponsor, I think the sponsee both, one of the key things people have already talked about, you know, it being a relationship and, you know, being respectful in the relationship and not taking things personally. So if I'm sponsoring someone and they just stop calling, it's, you know, I've had to get to the point where I realize that it's not necessarily an indictment of how I sponsor. I mean, I need to honestly look at, you know, was I respectful in this relationship? And if I was not, then I need to make amends about that. But if I was respectful, then it's not about me. And so I need to let go of that part of my ego that it's about me, and also let go of that I am responsible for that person's recovery. And also I've had to let go of my recovery depends on whether my sponsees are going to stay in recovery, because it does not. It depends on me. The other thing is I had a sponsee one time that was really just having trouble with abstinence. And I myself, as a sponsee, when I first started the program, I kept slipping and relapsing, and I would just stop calling my sponsor, and then I called my sponsor and I'd say, could I start again? And she would say yes. So I have that as part of my framework of allowing it, you know, allowing people to struggle and you know, really look at honesty. And I think if there's honesty going on about the slip, and if they're learning about it and they're recommitting to recovery, then I'm willing to continue working with them. But this had one person just was struggling and you know, for a long time, and could not you know, stay with it. And I finally said, you know, I just don't think I'm helping you if you're not able to stay abstinent by me sponsoring you, then I'm not helping you stay abstinent. And it was she was very crushed and just disappointed, and you know, took it personally. And I found out years later that was the impetus for her to really grab a hold of recovery again, and it kind of forced her into making a choice for recovery. So I just wanted to share that, as you know, even though it can be disappointing, and they, you know, someone might take it as a personal rejection, it sometimes might be the best thing. Is that time or 1 minute?
That was time.
Oh, okay, thank you.
But you can take time to wrap it up. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that story as kind of like encouragement that, you know, and, you know, that we're not about trying to be so nice to our sponsees that we kill them. And we also are not about being disrespectful and punishing to our sponsees. That's not our job either. It's trying to be honest with respect. Okay, so that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Beth.
Elaine, it's Shelley. Yes. Can I ask, early on, I've been in program a long time. They used to say you have to...
Is this Shelley? I just want to be clear. Is this Shelley again?
Shelley H.
Yeah, go ahead, Shelley. Go ahead.
Okay. We were told by our sponsors, you have to let them bump their head. And I believe that. We have to let our sponsees go through their own journey. And I'm sorry, I just got another call. And so that's what I do. And when I stop or want to stop a relationship with a sponsee, I'm very clear. I always put it in the I statement. I don't say you did this and you did that and it's because you did this. I put it on myself. And also, for those of you that are new in sponsoring, remember that you always have your sponsor to fall back on, and you have 3 outreach calls. So those are good things to use if you're having difficulty with the sponsee, and those are good tools to use. And I just want to throw that out there. So thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Other input from people who are listening and like to comment or ask a question?
I'd like to share.
Please, go ahead. Who is this?
This is Marilyn Rose from Southern California. Oh, thank you, panelists.
Please, go ahead.
And thank you, Elaine. And, you know, I get to see I've been in the program for a long time, and sure do things imperfectly, and it's such a learning curve. But I know for me, I had asked someone that I know at a live meeting to sponsor me at one time, and during that time, I would commit my food and my writing, and there would be nothing else. I wouldn't hear anything at all, and it was very quiet, and I didn't know what to do with that other than to say, gosh, I would like more things to happen, but I didn't have the skills to say, can you say something? And so what I did was say, you know, this isn't working for me. I need to move on. And this person later on had a discussion, and she said, can you let me know what was going on? It said, it was so quiet. I didn't hear anything from you. She said, I wish you would have said something. I would have given you feedback or said something, but it was so quiet. And I get to see, I moved on. My very next sponsor was someone who's also been in the program a long time. And this has become so comical, is that this person talked about a lot about her own recovery, and I became really uncomfortable. It's like, what's wrong with me? As someone who doesn't talk, and now someone's talking about herself. And so what I said with this sponsor, I said, this is really hard for me to say, but can my phone call to you be about my recovery? And this particular sponsor said, you know, I think we need time to think about this, and I'll talk with you tomorrow. And on the next day in our conversation, she said, I can't sponsor you anymore. You were dishonest with me. And it was really interesting, and it was so such a learning experience, because I have a pattern of fear of authority figures, so speaking up has been a big deal for me. And it had been weeks about the uncomfortability about hearing about my life and her life. And I needed to let go, and she let go of me, and I was dumbfounded. And so what I learned from that with going into my next relationship with my next sponsor is to say, I was forced to talk about how she worked and what worked for me and what my past experience was. And also, too, this was a big thing for me. My sponsor was making noise, and it was a lot. And it's like, I just know when I sponsor, I have that time allotted, and I need to focus, and it's very private time. And so learning to have a voice in being a sponsor and being sponsored has been real important to me. And both of those relationships have been so impactful. And the other thing I do for me, too, is to talk about I said, you know, this is a two-way relationship. Let's do this for 2 weeks and to see how it feels on both ends. And
1 minute.
Great. And what happens is that I get to see if people are willing to do the tools, have any questions about the food plan. And after that, it's a get-go. But it's a kind of a trial run to see what a person's commitment is, and that's worked really well. So thanks for being of service, everyone. And that's it.
Thank you, Marilyn Rose. Would there somebody else like to talk about their best practices that they've experienced either as a sponsee or as a sponsor for breaking up?
Hi, Elaine. This is Ruthie. How are you?
Okay, Ruthie. Take it away.
Thank you. Thanks for this panel discussion and this question and answer time. This has just been really enlightening and helpful to my program, Ruthie, Compulsive Eater. And I recently had a breaking up is hard to do moment with my sponsor. It happened over a text and instead of a phone call. And I took it real personally. And I, instead of seeing all the reasons why this was not working out for her anymore, I jumped right on all my character defects and realized that I needed to work the situation with the help of the steps. And I had to do a 10th step on it, you know. I'm resentful at the sponsor for dropping me, and why? What are the causes? Well, I didn't see this coming, and oh, I don't drop my sponsors when I had a health challenge, and oh, me, self-centered, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, who am I going to find to be my sponsor? And by the time I worked through, you know, all the reasons I was resentful, and my self-esteem had been hit, and my security, and my ambitions, and I thought we were really good friends, all personal relations. Anyway, by the time I finished writing about this, I realized this poor woman had hung in so much longer than I could ever possibly have done and had given her all to this relationship for so many years and had been so unselfish. And I suddenly realized this wasn't all about me. This was about her needing a change in her life. And that my higher power would take care of me, and I will find another sponsor, and life goes on. It isn't the end of the world because my sponsor decided she didn't want to sponsor me anymore. And just realizing that this sponsor-sponsor relationship it sometimes can get to a really deep friendship level, but that it's really possible to just say, you know what, this isn't working for me, and here are the reasons why, and I really appreciate you, and thanks for being my sponsor, or thanks for being my sponsee, and no harm, no foul. And it just was so helpful for me to even, you know, say, well, why did she text? Why didn't she call? I know why she didn't call. She was probably afraid of my wrath. And tells me well. And honestly, by the time I finished writing this 10-step inventory about the whole experience, I just felt a big wave of love and appreciation for this person. And it really made a difference to use the steps on it. I'm powerless over, you know, how I'm sponsored. And I know that a higher power can help me accept things or, you know, give me the courage to change things I can. And I'll make a decision. I'll let my higher power figure out the best way for this sponsor relationship to work. And, you know, in step four, write it all down. What's going on? In step five, talk it over. I'm so dishonest. I don't want anybody to know that
time.
Maybe this is for me. Oh, thank you. I'm so sorry to take so long. But this is Ruth, and I am grateful for this sponsor panel and thankful for the CHAP program and without that.
Thank you, Ruthie. So we have seen in the conversation so far how setting up our relationship has something to do with then what happens next. And knowing our own limitations, perhaps we have been able to lay that out in preparation, and also what our boundaries are and responding authentically, and emotional sobriety. So now we turn to the third part, which we had a lovely transition to, and that is, what is your experience, strength, and hope regarding post-breakup feelings? And Shelley H., you can kick it off.
Hi, everybody. This is Shelley H., bulimia, compulsive eater in recovery. I put a lot of energy into my sponsees, and when I, either if I'm having trouble or it catches me off guard, I will talk to my sponsor about it. I will make outreach calls. I'll write. And most importantly, I learn. I learned from what happened. You know, I feel bad, you know, when I have to let go of a sponsee or a sponsee lets go of me. And I feel bad, and I really do my best not to take it personally, but I really dig deep and try to learn from it. And if I have an amends to make to that sponsee, I will, and I will also say, you know, you can use me as an outreach call. And that's another thing that I add. I talk about it in my outreach calls. I share about it. I do everything I can to help myself because I know I'm not terminally unique. I know this happens to other people. And I talk to people about their experience, strength, and hope, and, you know, and how they feel about it. It's never easy. It's never easy. And I always pray, and I talk to many people before because it's not an easy thing. And sometimes, to tell you the truth, I feel relieved because I always remember, I have to remember, and this was really taught to me, is I have to put my oxygen mask on first, and I have to take care of me. And that's the most important thing in my abstinence, because the seven tools to me, is what matters. And so putting on my oxygen mask first, if that means making outreach calls and talking to people, whatever it is, so that I can be okay with me. And it may take a week, it may take a day, you know, and I have broken up with sponsees before, and I see them at meetings, and it's really okay. It's really okay. I did what God wanted me to do, and that's how I put it. I did my part, and now I have to let them go. You know, one of my sponsors says, if you're not with them, why are you thinking about them? And I mean, that's hard to do, but no, and making outreach calls and talking about it because, you know, I'm human, and it's very, very important to, you know, and to take on another sponsee, to pick up where I left off and know that, like, I have other sponsees that I have to give my due diligence to. And I know in my heart that I did the very best I could. And so that's my experience, strength, and hope, and thank you for letting me be a part of this workshop, Elaine.
Thank you, Shelley. Bruce, post-breakup feelings, your experience, strength, and hope.
Oh, thank you, Elaine. Well, I've had a number of sponsees that I've let go. And it's been a mixture of complete separation without any further connection. And there have been some that have continued a relationship, even though we're no longer in that sponsor-sponsee relationship. And I've found it very rewarding to have openness about those I have let go, especially it depends on what they were let go for. For instance, I have a sponsee that I let go because they could not get abstinent over a very long period of time. In some cases, I think it was too long a time. But I've left it open because they had an honesty with me that I appreciate. And the sponsees that I have not kept a relationship with are the ones that have proven in more than one case and incident of being dishonest with me. And I've not found it of value to me to continue a relationship with one that has gotten to the point where the dishonesty was just more than I could take. Because I believe that in a program such as this, in a relationship such as this, that honesty has to be the priority, both with sponsees and sponsors. I've had sponsors that have made it clear to me that their relationship with me was way back on the back burner, where I would call in and it would be so much going on in the background that I would have to say, could you take our call in another room? Or can you mute while we have our time together? And that is very important to me. I need to feel that when I call into a sponsor, that 15 minutes or 5 minutes, or most cases it's 3 minutes.
But here it's 1 minute. 1 minute.
Thank you. That I need to have your attention while I answer my question. And, you know, if I'm unable to get that, I think that a sponsor that's available for me once a day is what I need. And that's all I have on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Linda, your experience, strength, and hope regarding post-breakup feelings.
Hi, Linda M., compulsive eater. Thank you. You know, you've just made me realize that I have been very lucky that I have not had sponsees where, you know, they're doing the dishes. Yeah. Anyway, okay, my first sponsor left the program, and that was really, really tough because she was, you know, the first person. She said yes. She heard my fourth step questions, so she is the person that knows more about me and my history
that I than anybody in the world. I mean, she still does. She is the one person. So I was disappointed. I was worried for her. And then I was angry because, like, now I have to find another sponsor, you know, and I really liked her, and we got along really well, and she was, you know, the first one and the best one, and I didn't want to have anybody else. And that is a good lesson for me to know how it feels. So when I have thoughts of going out, you know, when I've had them, I think about that, and I think about, you know, my sponsor who picks up the phone, who listens to me every day, and, you know, how could I do that to her, you know, when she's given me her time so freely, and how can I do that to my sponsees, you know, especially if they have shared their, you know, innermost secrets and thoughts and experiences and have given me the gift of my abstinence to just blow that. While it was not a great time, you know, at the time, because I was still very new to the program, I'm grateful that I had that opportunity to experience that. And so when I've been let go, or, you know, when I the relationship ends, especially if it's kind of not on my doing, you know, somebody just, like we talked earlier, just kind of ghosted out of the program or away from me or something, that, you know, I have to go to step one, that I'm powerless over people and situations, and remember that I don't always get to have what I want. You know, I have to get past the idea that, you know, ooh, I can save this person from their suffering. You know, that's not my job. I am to share my experience, strength, and hope regarding compulsive eating. And so I need to check in with my ego, and, you know, because God never says no, only yes, not yet, or I have something better for you, you know, so I can't take it personally. You know, why would I want to suffer in that way? And one of the best things, of course, is to call other people and talk to them, you know, let them know I feel crummy, you know, I feel disappointed, I feel like I'm not enough.
One minute.
Thank you. You know, my self-esteem has been bruised, and they can share their experience, strength, and hope with me, so that I can get back to knowing what the role of a sponsor is. Let me see, I think that is all that I wanted to share about that. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And now for Loretta, and we're talking about best practices for breaking up.
Why don't you let Bruce go ahead, and then I'll
okay,
go ahead.
Bruce, go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. One thing I did want to mention is I've had to let one sponsor go, and I started off my conversation with that sponsor by thanking him for the many months that he had worked with me. And I thought that was very important, that he had the feeling that I was grateful for the time we spent together. And I think it's important to leave them, that sponsor, with that impression and not go into the details about why I've made this decision to move on. And I guess that's about all that I have on that.
Thanks for that addendum. Go ahead, Loretta.
Okay. feelings, especially strong ones regarding a close relationship, which sponsorship often turns into, can prove very challenging for me. I'm still rather immature with my feelings and sometimes need lots of help from my higher power and other recovering compulsive eaters and see how. So I try to get down on my knees in quiet and ask for God's help and guidance with the feelings. I try to take deep breaths and maybe do some writing about the situation. If the feelings still feel like they will sweep me away, I call someone in the fellowship and ask if they would mind if I talk to them about the situation. For me, it is very important I do not disclose the other person's name or any personal info about them that I know. It's very tempting to make the other person involved the bad guy if they have dropped me. Then I just try to talk it through the best I can. I usually don't want someone to tell me how to feel or think about a circumstance. I often just want perhaps their feedback on what they hear from me or maybe their experience, strength, and help from a similar situation that they might have gone through. Just lost my... Hang on 1 second here, please. I'm sorry. Okay. The only being I know who can really change my feelings is my higher power. So I continue to ask for his help in so doing. And I wanted to add that I was at a meeting of another 12-step fellowship, and the fellow was talking about sponsorship. And he said that the sponsorship is the first intimate relationship that most of us have in abstinence. Because when we were eating compulsively, the relationships can't really be that intimate because they're not honest. We're cut off from our own feelings. I'm cut off from my own feelings. But once you get into sponsor-sponsee relationship and I've put the food down and the other person has put the food down, we are just there, you know, with our bare souls. And it can really bring some very strong feelings up in me. So that's all that I've got.
Thank you, Loretta. I am so appreciative. And in a moment, I will open it up. But I did want to just, I guess, put 2 cents here. I have, in cases where sponsees have left me, and I have just had to do, as one of our other listeners said, had to do a 10th step because the sense of rejection, which gives you a sense of my emotional sobriety, was so, so great. And I generally also have to do a 10-step when I let somebody go because I also will feel guilty then. So anyway, I go, this particular part of sponsoring really just shows my level of emotional sobriety. But the other thing that I heard, and I just want to emphasize because I think it's a really cool way, and that is if we can get to the point around post-break of feelings, to ask the question, what has been the gift here? You know, to frame this instead of negative thinking, what has been the gift here? To look at it that way. Okay, let us open the floor for input from people who have questions or comments or would like to share their own experience, strength, and hope.
This is Nadira. I have a question.
Andy, I'd like to share.
So there were two people. Who was the first person?
Nadira, I have a question.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to thank the panel and thank you. My question is this. Regardless of who let who go, are there guidelines? I heard one person refer to something that she does to keep privacy and keep confusion down. Are there guidelines for making sure that getting help with those feelings and processing it does not become character assassinating or gossip about whoever?
Great question. Great question. Who would like to take that?
Bruce would like to say that anonymity when discussing sponsees and sponsors is always a great priority for me. And over time, I have developed the habit of not using names. And that's, at this point, it's very easy to do. I can talk about any situation without ever having the need to use a person's name. And I think it's a great habit to get into. And that's all I have on that one.
Would someone else like to address Nadira's question? There was someone who came in afterwards. Who was that?
This is Sandy, compulsive eater.
Sandy, go ahead.
Thank you so much. Thank you, panel, and thank you, Elaine, and thank you, timekeeper. This has been a wonderful workshop for me. I wasn't going, my sponsor mentioned it to me, and I was so busy this morning I thought, oh, I don't have time. And I've learned so much, so I just want to thank everyone. What came to my mind was 30 years ago when I came into 12-step rooms, I was so excited that I wanted to spread the word to everybody I knew. And because I was so codependent, I took on every sponsee that asked me. I must have had 10 at one time. And I didn't know that I didn't know how to set boundaries. And through the years, I have two today, which is plenty for me. But I had to learn what worked for me. And I learned also that sometimes I wanted their abstinence more than they did. And that was the turning point for me. But I have a 24-hour rule for myself. I write. I share it with my sponsor. I do a tremendous amount of writing today, journaling, besides my questions. Because once I get a feeling that I'm uncomfortable with, I need to dig it out. And I need to talk to God. In the 30 years that I've been in these rooms, I've never left. And thank God I have 5 years again. But as the years passed, I had to change my abstinence because of medical reasons. And today, I am a celiac. And my message always is, it's not that you're going to go hungry. And I talk to a lot of people, and they want to know, am I going to lose weight even if I'm on a medical abstinence? Well, I've been able to keep 45 pounds off my body because I have a very, very nurturing sponsor. And when I tell her I'm having a horrible stomach ache today and I may not be able to eat what I normally eat, she understands. But I also found out that a lot of people go to their doctor and say, I want to be able to eat four times a day. So it is about the food at that point. It's not about God. And what I've learned is when I'm really hungry, I really need God. I am so far away from God. So I'm just so thrilled to be able to be on this line today and to be in this program. I am so grateful for it. I'm grateful for all the people that sponsored me. And, you know, I also learned that...
Time.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm Sandy in California. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. And, yes, it sounds like somebody else came on and would like to share.
This is Shelley from Wolf Peter.
Can I say something?
I want to apologize. I think you thought I was Shelley on the panel. I didn't know where you were in the workshop before. So I just want to say that, you know, in a sponsor-sponsee relationship, it should never be abusive, you know, and if at any time either one feels that way, it needs to be addressed, you know, and sometimes, you know, I know for me, wherever I go, I carry me with me, so I've had my experiences with family and friends and growing up, and I will sometimes try to recreate my situation with my family in other situations with other people, and that might be with a sponsee, so I'm giving them qualities of, well, this person's like my abusive uncle, or this person's like my aunt that didn't care about me, or something like that. And that's not the truth, you know. The truth is they're just people trying to help others so they can stay abstinent. And that's the key, to get into reality. You know, they always told me, you know, you got to get the wishbone moved and have a backbone put in, you know. I can't be so super sensitive to everything. You know, this is a disease of addiction. And addiction means that, like I said before, I want my drug of choice. you know, I'm going to do anything to try to do that. And if you hurt my feelings, if I perceive you've hurt my feelings, I'm going to lash out because that's my addiction. You know, but as I grow and learn in the program and practice recovery, you know, I start to understand I get to act rather than to react. You know, when it happens that a sponsor-sponsee relationship does not work out for me, I look at what I have to do and what I don't have to do, and I just go on from there. I talk to my sponsor about it. You know, I talk to several people about it. And it works out, you know. It's a learning experience, you know. Every relationship has good relationship has conflict and conflict resolution. And that's where just practicing relationships here, like someone else said before. So I just think that always be aware of what is going on around me. And if I feel uncomfortable, I need to voice it. And if someone else feels uncomfortable, they need to voice it. And sometimes people just can't work together. It's just a function of being a human being and personality differences. And that's all I need to say. My name's Shelley. I'm a Bulls Beater.
Thank you, Shelley. Is there somebody else who would like to share their experience, strength, and hope around post-breakup feelings?
This is Cheryl, compulsive eater again.
Please, go ahead, Cheryl.
If a newcomer has a problem with their sponsor and it's not comfortable for whatever reason, how do we let that newcomer know that there is an option to move on and try to get someone else? Because I've heard of many situations where newcomers come in and they don't know that, you know, they just believe that that's a sponsor, everyone sponsors the same way and that's theirs, and that there isn't, so how do we let them know that they can make outreach calls, find out that they can try to get another sponsor? And this program is not about just that one sponsor, just that one person. It's about principles, not personalities. It's not about me as a sponsor. There are others. And then the other thing that I heard that was very, very concerning, it was devastating when I heard it, was that there was someone went into the hospital unexpectedly, and she was unconscious, and they gave her the IV, and there was sugar in that, and her sponsor slipped her. And now she was not in control of that situation. She did not ask for it. Had it been something that was scheduled, she could have asked for saline. But I found that really bad. And so I don't know what happened with the sponsor left, you know, let go of the sponsor. But we need to let people know, and I don't know how that is done, other than possibly in a workshop like this, that yes, you know, you do not have to stay with that sponsor. There is options. That you can change. You can move on to another sponsor. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. What one possibility, of course, is in that preliminary setup to remind them that they are free to move on when if it's not working. But at least a call. Other responses to that or other comments from people who are listening?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. Can
Please,
I double
go
dip?
Ahead.
Okay,
sure.
It's Marcia. I was told that this is not a marriage and that any time, you know, if I was uncomfortable, felt that it wasn't working or I couldn't be honest with them or whatever the situation was, that, you know, to feel free to move on, and that it would be appreciated if, you know, I let the person know at a time. And I believe it says in the sponsor workshop that it's the sponsor that's supposed to find another sponsor for the sponsee. So anyway, that was my situation, and I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. Other comments?
Hi, it's Nicole.
Go ahead, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole, compulsive eater. I've had many situations with sponsors, but the hardest one that I had was I had become very ill and could not keep anything down and got really frightened, didn't know what to do about that, called someone who had long-term recovery and explain my situation, and she said that if I did not keep my food down, it would be a slip. And I explained that this is not voluntarily happening, And she said, I can't deal with this, and slammed the phone down on me. And I was very ill at the time. It's definitely put me at odds about getting another sponsor in CEA Howe. That's my comment.
Thank you, Nicole. Would anybody on the panel like to respond?
This is Loretta. I'd like to respond to that.
Please, go ahead, Loretta.
A lot of medical problems, and I've had some people be very nasty to me in the program about when my weight, when I lost too much weight, and about my food plan, and all kinds of things that were happening to me. And I knew it was, I had no control over this stuff. Sometimes I took it really, really badly. However, I know for me, deep down inside, that I am a critical level life and death recovering compulsive eater, and that I can't afford to let anybody keep me away from a program that was going to save my life. It helped for me. I love how we have to have 3 outreach calls a day, because that forces me to talk to other people besides just my sponsor. And I can get outside opinions. I can say, look, this is my experience. This is what happened to me. Have you ever had anything like that happen to you? What do you think? And pretty soon, if I talk to a number of people, I will get some sane feedback. And I pray. I pray and pray. And when I pray, I'll hear something on the radio, I'll read something in a book, something will be presented to me that helps to answer my queries. But I can't afford to let one bad relationship keep me from my recovery. It hurts like hell to have somebody treat me like that. But, you know, that's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you, Loretta. Is there anybody else who would like to respond to that?
Hi, yeah, Linda M.
Go, Linda.
Hi. Gosh, my first response to that was, oh, my gosh. I find that sponsees that have certain medical things will talk to me about it. I personally have fibromyalgia, and it's very well managed. However, I can give my experience, strength, and hope to somebody else who has chronic pain, and so that I think needs to be spoken about in the beginning, you know, or as things come up, you know, because sometimes this is something that people try, you know, they've been told by their physician you need to lose weight, or something else is coming up in their lives, and this is something that they want to do, and so that, I think that's important, that, you know, folks that may have some psychiatric, you know, double winner kind of scenarios, or again, you know, hypoglycemia or diabetes, that it's important to have somebody that is familiar with that so that they can share their experience, strength, and hope regarding those situations, because if I don't know, if I don't understand diabetic needs, I don't think I can be really effective. And I wonder, you know, like I said before, am I being played? Is somebody just making up their own stuff? Because I don't know them, you know, without being only phone bridge. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. And comments or questions on any part of the workshop today?
Elaine,
comment
I just
from Bruce.
Okay, I heard two people. One is Bruce, and who is the other person?
Leanne.
Okay, let's let Bruce go first, and if the other person would mute because we're getting background noise. So Bruce first, and then the next person. Go ahead, Bruce.
Thank you, Elaine. The comments I heard about slipping a person for a couple of different reasons reminds me of not so much a sponsorship, but micromanaging someone's food is not what I consider to be in a supportive role. And I do believe my role as a sponsor is to be supported. And the little minute changes you might make in your food are of no consequence to me as a sponsor. I like to have a weigh-in date. You know, if you're on maintenance, it can be once a week. If you're in the first 30 days, it's once a month. And what happens to your food to a degree is, you know, no consequence. The fact of the matter is, if you're being honest in your approach to the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and using the 7 tools, that is a priority to me. What happens to your food is less of a importance to me. But if you're working this program and you're being honest about it, that is the most important thing. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And this will be our last share. And go ahead, please.
I'm Rihanna, a compulsive eater. And in addressing a sponsor being able to change to a different sponsor, I always tell my sponsees when they call and want me to sponsor them that they must understand that they have the right to change sponsors at will. They don't have to give me an excuse. I only ask that they let me know so that I know I'm free in that period to sponsor someone else. And if they want help finding another sponsor, I am willing to do that. No questions asked. Thank you.
Thank you. I wish to thank Shelley H., Bruce H., Linda M., Loretta R. for their preparation and their heartfelt shares today. Again, if you would like to communicate with any of them, I have their phone numbers, and you can reach me, Elaine, at phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. And if you need a fresh outreach list, you can get that at the same time. So a 2-for-1. But there's been so much experience, strength, and hope that I hope will have value for other people who may have the opportunity to listen to a recording of this really important topic. Breaking up is hard to do, but it doesn't have to be that hard with a little bit of preparation, a little bit of emotional sobriety, and a lot of outreach calls. Thank you very much for being here today. And with that, we will close off with the Serenity Prayer. Would you please unmute and join me? God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things that I cannot change,
the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. The panel and everyone for